Welcome to Extra Points with your host, Cousin Sal, and his pals, Dave Damaschek and Charlotte Wilder.
All right, welcome to the Extra Points Podcast, part of the Extra Points Podcast Network. Cousin Sal coming to you live with his good pals, Dave Damaschek and Charlotte Wilder. You always want to say coming to you live, but it doesn't make sense, right? And whenever you're speaking, it's live, but this is not going to roll out live. So then I got stuck. I didn't know if I should say live or not. So now here I am.
Sal, this is a podcast. I don't know if you know where you are
right
now.
Yeah, crap. And I said it in the beginning. It was the first thing I said is it's a podcast. What's the matter with me?
I enjoyed being a fly on the wall for that conversation with yourself there.
Thank you.
I do that all the time. So it was fun to be in the more passive chair.
Speaking of conversations with myself, I went on Jimmy Kimmel Live, actually also not live, for the first time as a guest last night. I'm pushing this book, You Can't Lose Them All. Went out yesterday, and thank you both for your kind words and your tweets and everything and your support. And it was weird being on Jimmy, like walking, being announced and not being on the street and facilitating some dumb man on the street thing between, you know, how much couples know each other or whatever it would be. But yeah, he was actually on there asking me about my book. I had a blazer on, and it was very strange because, you know, it's not a full audience. In fact, it's just like a few of our friends and then like grips and lighting guys in the audience. So it feels like 20 of the 150 seats. And I know everybody. I know all the people. So it's like having a barbecue in your backyard. Someone explained it to me. It's like having a barbecue and then stopping the barbecue and saying, hey, everybody listen to me for 7 minutes. I know you're all my friends, but
did you like it? Or like, did it feel more comfortable? Or
I was more nervous than I thought I would be, which is really stupid because I talk to Jimmy all the time. But
it's not stupid; it's a big deal.
Yeah, but I've like wrestled in front of 19,000 people, and it wasn't as big a deal. And
Did you lift your standard? Do not make eye contact with me. Rule with the stage guys.
No. That had to remain. Yeah. And then once I caught myself on the monitor and just, I blurted out, look how fat I am. So that derailed from the conversation a little, although they left it in. And I'm like, Guillermo, you were supposed to remind me to lose weight. And I didn't. But yeah, I mean, we told all the same dumb stories and Jimmy was great. And I got out of there.
No, I want to hear though, because listen, I you know, it's not my way to put you on the spot, Sal, but
yeah,
Jimmy has been interviewing people for 18 years, mazel tov to everyone at Jimmy Kimmel Live, 18 years after you and I and obviously everybody else there gathered round for the first ever show on a Sunday night. It was in fact the debut of Jimmy Kimmel Live 18 years ago was just after the Buccaneers destroyed the Raiders in that Super Bowl.
I just thought about that. I was thinking about that too, Dave. That's could be a Buccaneers year, Charlotte. It was the show started, and now here we
the
are.
The curse same, of Jimmy.
Same exact uniform, same uniform and everything too, the red jersey and everything. But this time it was on the West Coast, and Warren Sapp got on a helicopter in San Diego. For the kids out there, there used to be a pro football team in San Diego, California. Right. And so there was a stadium too. And so Warren Sapp got a helicopter ride up and he landed in the field, if I'm not mistaken, at Hollywood High. And Coldplay played it. They shut down Hollywood Boulevard. And so there were thousands of people out on the street. And I remember, Jimmy's not my cousin or anything, but I remember feeling just abject, almost paralyzing nervousness for him. Like, oh my God, like this is live. You can't just like not do it. I mean, what are you supposed to do? And there he was, and we're standing there. The Super Bowl had wrapped up and all the whatever, the celebration for the Super Bowl. And like, all right, here's the debut of our new late night show. Good luck against Letterman and Leno.
Yeah.
Jimmy Kimmel. And then next thing you know, it's like, here he is, Jimmy Kimmel live. And then it's like, Jimmy's walking through thousands of people out on Hollywood Boulevard into the building.
Right. He liked that entrance. Steve Allen used to do that 100 years ago. And he's like, I like that, walking up the steps and me, you know, maybe high-fiving people on the side or not, whatever. But yeah, that was
it was awesome. And it really was neat, but I was so afraid for him. And then it was George Clooney. And then it's like, Jimmy Kimmel's talking to George Clooney on a couch on Jimmy Kimmel's show?
Really sounds like you're playing early 2000s Mad Libs right now.
Yeah, it's true.
Warren Sapp, Coldplay, George Clooney.
It was, I remember that. And then somebody threw up at the, there was like, because they had
also
all these cocktail tables.
Also happened in the early 2000s.
There you go. That doesn't occur anymore.
All these little cocktail tables all spread around in the bar front lobby area of the cool building, the El Capitan, where the Kimmel show still is done. And somebody threw up. The whole idea was like retro cocktail party, Johnny Carson, you know, burning nails and drinking a smart cocktail while you chop up what the latest is in show business. But then somebody puked and then ABC shut down pretty quickly.
Someone puked in the audience. They were serving beer. So there was the outside.
Oh, you mean because they were drunk they threw up?
Yeah, yeah. They threw up. And ABC is like, I think we need to class this up a little bit. This is getting a little crazy here. This can't be the Man Show part two. But yeah, you're right, Dave. 18 years ago, Jimmy had George Clooney on, and now he's 18 years later, he had his cousin on talking about
this
dumb book.
A huge step up, honestly.
Thank you.
Look, Sal, I'm not doing a podcast with George Clooney. I'll just put it that way.
You're not? All right,
no,
I
chose you. He asked me, and I was like, I have this Sal thing.
It's so crazy. So that was that. I did a weird thing yesterday. I had our crack social media staff on this. I'm like, have Oprah holding. We made a whole bunch of mock-ups of people in film reading my book. So there's John Travolta on the toilet before he gets shot. Spoiler alert, sorry. In Pulp Fiction, he's reading my book. And then we had just like Oprah holding it. And I post this on Facebook or Instagram. I'm like, oh, Oprah calls it her favorite book of all time. Something stupid. My mother goes nuts about this. She's like, how in the world did you get Oprah? Now, the picture is from Oprah in, talk about retro, Charlotte. It's Oprah like 2005.
Oprah.
Had a show. Like she's
my God.
15 years younger. And then she proceeds throughout the day to slam me with texts from people. Oh my God, your son, all her Yenta friends believe this thing.
No.
That Oprah loves your book. I got to get this. And now these... Now these 70-year-old Jewish women are going to order this book and they're going to read about Chinese basketball over-unders. And they're like, what the hell is it? Why did Oprah like this book? This is insanity. And it made me think two things. One, you no longer need to tour. You could just put up a picture of Ellen holding your book or Oprah holding your book. And if you fool enough people, there it is right there. Look at that. When was that? That was like 20 years ago, Oprah.
That is not current day Oprah. Oh, that is who did that? That's a great photo.
Mikey Meatballs is good at the Photoshops, apparently.
Yeah,
that's
really
a pretty believable one.
That was me.
He knocked it. That was you, Jim?
Jim?
I mean,
Jim,
you knocked
that.
Jim,
crushed that.
Jim, I'm gonna have to give you a cut, a percentage of the books I sold because of Oprah.
Just give me Oprah's number.
I'll give you her number. But yeah,
I thought you were gonna say that you got sued.
Well, that's coming, I'm sure. If I make too big a deal out of this, but the big thing is one, you no longer have to tour. Just have a good Photoshopper like heel producer Jim. And number two, this is why so many crockpot theories get passed around on Facebook. When people can't even recognize an easy, not so easy, Jim. I know you worked hard on it. Photo manipulation on that. That's why the theories get spread and conspiracy this and that. And it doesn't take long to look at that and see that Oprah is 20 years younger than she is when the book came out.
Yeah,
right?
You are the QAnon of book promotion.
I'm a QAnon factor for sure. Yeah, so... So that was that. And I just really quickly wanted to speak on the book tour thing. They have you do the day it comes out. They have you do what's called a junket. So you're on from 5:40 in the morning to 7:40 in the morning, giving out every 10 minutes, they roll a new interview and you're online and there's someone who facilitates it on the other end. And like, all right, now you're going to talk to Boomer, Breakfast with Boomer in Des Moines, Iowa. And you go right through them all. And they're all small cities and big cities. And it's a mix of fans and non-fans. And most of probably the 15 hits I did were fans, probably 10 or 11. But then there are some that just drove me crazy. But I got like one or two Uncle Sal's. I'm like, son of a bitch. And then the worst was like one Uncle Sal and was like, hey man, but so tell me about gambling. Is that cool? I'm like, no, it's not cool because it's led me to this moment, but yeah. Okay. Thank you. And then there were some people who just really don't give a damn. And they're like, he's an American comedian who lives in LA. I was like, oh, you son of a bitch.
An American.
You're just reading from Wikipedia right now. You're not even trying. If you took
Wait, is that what your Wikipedia says?
I must say American comedian.
I'm looking up your Wikipedia.
Take the word American out and you can maybe fool me into thinking you know who the hell who I am. And so then I go off on this guy. I'm like, oh, American comedian? Why, you're having a lot of Australian comedians and so you needed to differentiate? And he's like, now he's lost. He doesn't know that I'm amazing. He's like, what? Well, I'm like, ah, just forget it. But anyway, dude, so that's...
Your Wikipedia page is unbelievable.
Am I an American comedian still?
Also known as Cousin Sal is an American attorney, comedian, writer, and game show host.
An American attorney is even dumber.
American attorney. Hey, Char, do yourself a favor. Read Damashek's at some point. There are a lot of mistruths.
Oh, really?
Did you sneak those in there?
No, I didn't know. Weisenheimer sneak them in there about my web feet and how I was a state champion swimmer as a result of it and everything else.
See, you're an American television writer and radio personality. Damashek is a football analyst, writer, and podcaster.
I don't know about any of those. But anyway, Sal, what was Kimmel's... I mean, there's just a whole bunch of nonsense in there. Sal, so what was Jimmy's worst question?
Wait. Hold on. One more thing from Wikipedia before... This is unbelievable.
The worst might be... It's like you're going to be... This is really ridiculous and embarrassing. And be Actually, that one's true.
I read it wrong. I thought that they said the podcast was called... Extra Points with Sheck and Schwartz, and I was going to be really excited that they got the
they mixed it up, but they updated it. I just read it wrong.
Anyway, continue.
Did Jimmy ask any lame questions to you?
No, he didn't. I mean, it was pre-produced. I'm going to be honest. I knew a lot of what was coming. He hit me with one or two out of there, but nothing really lame. You know, the thing is, I had told every story 14 times on this junket, so I kind of had it nailed by them. But anyway, enough of my dumb book. We have a Super Bowl coming up, guys, right? It's like 10 or 11 days away. This is the weird time where you're in the middle. You can't dive too deep into the props or anything because they're not up there. Also weird, Friday, there's no media day. You guys have both been to media day, right?
Charlotte,
what are some of your good experiences with Media Day? They're not having it this year. I guess they're doing it virtually, which seems even sillier to have guys dress up in costumes for a virtual Media Day.
Yeah, Media Day to me, I think it's hilarious because I think that, you know, real journalists get very offended by it now because they say it's just a spectacle. And I'm like, well, yeah, but that's pretty funny. Why? Like, you're not going to get anything out of it. These guys are so guarded at that point by the league and team PR that, like, you think they're actually going to put you in like a small conference room and you're actually going to get something out of Rob Gronkowski tonight. Nah. Like, you can't, but. So,
you don't want to be in a small conference room with Rob Gronkowski anyway.
It turns into a wrestling match immediately.
Right.
My best media night bits, I think, well, one, I went to Brady's press conference in Minneapolis, and I'd had the flu, so I had no voice left. Like, I wasn't sick anymore, but I had no voice. And it was when the TB Times, his fake newspaper, the height of his fake newspaper, and he had this crocodile that he would keep putting in the Instagram posts as a cartoon. And I was obsessed with finding out who the crocodile was. So I went to this. I got there early. I like stood in front of the podium and I screamed anytime there was an opening in, you know, to ask a question because they sort of pick on you from the crowd. Right. I yelled, Tom. And he like looked at me somehow. And I just yelled, who is Croc? And he was like, and everyone was, you know, and there's this like Japanese TV station next to me. And they're like, who is this girl? And he said that we would find out who Croc was if they won the Super Bowl, and then they lost the Super Bowl.
Oh, because you gave them the flu. They lost. That's why.
Right. I was Typhoid Charlotte. But and then the other one, I think last year, no, the Rams Super Bowl. I got to the front of Sean McVay's little. They look like dunk tanks the way they set them up. But I got to the front of his and. I said, Sean, he looked over and I said, how old are you? And he was like, what? And then he realized that I was being an asshole. And he was like, I'm 33.
That's great.
I was like, right. No one ever talks about that. So I just wanted to ask.
That's what's funny about it, Charles, because there'll be like 7 or 70 serious questions in a row, and then you hit them with a "How old are you?" And Dave, you have great experience. You have a classic line that you throw at them. But I think eventually you win every year, so eventually, especially with the Patriots going back, they probably recognize you. But what's your tell everybody your line, your stumper?
Yeah, I know. We could either do the 2 minute or the 4 hour version of my favorite. Media night memories. I do love it, as Charlotte says, because really half the people there are there like 15 minutes of fame. I'm going to dress ridiculously. I'm going to get in a clown suit or some variation and see if I can do something zany. And then the other half are like serious minded journalists who harumph at all those shenanigans because they want to have a soul searching interview. And it's like, hey, there are 17 dozen other people wanting to ask a question to this guy. This is not the time for your hard-hitting journey bio conversation with this guy. So I always tried to find the middle of that and act serious and look serious and ask stupid questions. The one that I've done for, I think I did 9 years in a row was, is this a must-win game? And their reactions are almost across the board hysterical. Head coaches Jim Harbaugh, Pete Carroll, anybody like serious.
I feel like Jim Harbaugh is the perfect person to ask that question.
Yeah. They like stare at you for a second, like, "Yeah, it's the Super Bowl. Yeah, it's a must win game." The only two people who ever knew I was jiving were Eric Decker, handsome devil, and another handsome devil named Tom Brady, who just a couple of years ago was in front of the Rams one. It's like, "Is this a must-win game?" He's like, "Or what?" And I'm like, "I don't know, Tom. That's up to you, man." And then one of my other go-tos is to apologize to the quarterback if I expressed any doubt that he might get there that year. I say, earlier in the year, as you know, I doubted you getting to the Super Bowl. And I wanted to say face-to-face, man-to-man, I apologize. And Tom told me, he's like, "That's okay, man. I love you." and then my heart soared to cloud nine. Joe Flacco took it completely seriously. He's like, "It's all right about that, you know." And like he went into a serious answer about doubted him and stuff. I talked to Jimmy G and Tom Brady and all their teammates a couple of times about who's more handsome between the two of them. Yeah. Oh, some asking Jim Harbaugh what a 49er is and stumping him on that for about 6 seconds, which felt like about 6 hours. Nice. As he stared at me, and I was like, "What? We can move on. It's a gold miner." And I was like, "Yeah, that's right, coach. You got, I was like, "Woo, otherwise you would have murdered me here in front of all these people." Oh,
it's so funny. It's one of my favorite things. Now that I think about it, and your classic question, is this a must win? And I know you could tell it at another time. You have a run-in with Coach Knight, who was one of your heroes back in the day. You attended Indiana University. But if given the chance, even thinking about it now, presented with Coach Knight before the game, would you ask him, let's say we're talking late 80s, early whatever, Coach Knight, you get to ask him before the championship game, is this a must win? Would you even bother, or is it too terrifying even thinking about it now?
Current Dave, yes, would ask that question.
You would, to Coach Knight.
Would 21-year-old Dave do that, given that put back in that same spot when I interviewed him? I would never do it. No, I was terrified of him. And that's what his whole thing was predicated on, was intimidating people. But then you realize, oh, that's what's funny about it. These guys are super self-serious hardos. Right. And all you're talking to them about is sports. It's a lighten up, fella. Coach Knight yelled at me, I would laugh now. It would be great.
There really is this fine line. And you're either an athlete or a coach who at media night in the NFL, you either play along or you don't. And it's really that simple. And if you do it enough, and you know, I mean, especially with the Patriots who were in it every year, you knew what to expect from who at media night because they were just always there. And like Edelman would be fun. Gronk would be fun. Mm-hmm. The McCourties were sometimes pretty fun. And then, you know, Belichick, just, you're like, If he smiled at media night, you were like, okay, that was a win. We did.
I think we did a bit on that. Can Guillermo get him the smile or something?
Yeah.
And that was something that I have one media day story, and I'll go through a quick one. It's in the book.
This is maybe the best of them all. It really is marvelous.
I feel like this would happen 100 times today, but back when I did it, I don't know. I hadn't heard of it or seen it being done, but, it was when the Patriots were playing the Carolina Panthers, another lucky Super Bowl win. They win by a field goal, whatever. We'll talk about that another time. But anyway, we go down there. It's in Houston, and we go down there, and I have a media credential for Jimmy Kimmel Live, a media credential that I've now lost. I've been banned from media day, and I'll tell you exactly why. The plan was for me to go down and pretend I'm John Casey, the kicker for Carolina. So I can't be too many players. I'm even too small to be John Casey, but at 5'9", 190, that was going to be the closest I was going to get. So we go down there. We get some bad information as to what uniform the players are going to be wearing at media day. And instead of buying both jerseys, we buy the road jersey when they were wearing the home. We could have really cured it with a $65 purchase, but we didn't. So I'm wearing the wrong John Casey jersey out there.
The jokes might not have been as good if I had been the writer assigned to that bit, Sal, but you know the uniforms would have been
right.
You should have
exactly.
Really
I needed to consult with the uniformman, for God's sakes, at least before I got on the plane. But anyway, so I change into the John Casey jersey as I'm about to hit the field. And you know what it's like. There's a clock. There's a giant clock there. And you're kind of like scrambling against the clock trying to figure out what booth to go to. But
it's stressful. Yeah.
Yeah. I hung back and I was John Casey. And immediately most people knew I was joking. It's the American reporters. But Charlotte, as you pointed out, there's a good contingent of foreign press. Mm-hmm. And they don't know. And if one of them says from the French, whatever it says, oh boy, we have a player over there, they'll all flock at least for a minute.
Oh, it is Jean Casey.
Yeah, Jean Casey. And they're asking me, and whatever they asked me, I just ignored. And I was talking about how, I bet a lot on the Patriots, so I'm a winner either way. As John Casey, I'm saying this. Oh, I'm talking God. About my night at the strip club the night before and like all signs of sorts of bad shit I'm talking about with John Casey. And again, I'm fooling the foreign press and some of it's airing overseas and stuff as I'm saying it. I'm not fooling a lot of the locals. And then we see John Casey, who doesn't have a booth, but he's being interviewed in the stands. So now we're shooting this whole thing for Kimmel. And we have a guy with a microphone in my face to legitimize the whole thing. So I follow John Casey into the stands and he's being interviewed. And I'm like, hey, what are you doing? What do you think you're doing? And he like laughs it off. I'm like, I'm John Casey. Don't listen to this phony. So what do you have to ask me? I'm saying out to the reporters. And again, a couple of them go to me and a couple of them go to the real John Casey.
God.
And now John Casey, who has a very deep and loving relationship with Jesus Christ, is not having it when he hears my answers about like strip clubs and stuff like that. And he gets furious with me and stops not only my interviews, but his interviews and has me escorted out. And I've not been given a credential since.
Oh my God.
So that
was it. You could make a case because John Casey did kick the ball out of bounds in the waning seconds of regulation to put the Patriots in the field close to field goal range. You may have provided. We'll never know. But the butterfly effect of that week, did you distract him in such a way that you threw off something that led to that final few minutes of the Super Bowl? I don't know.
Well, I
don't
know
that you gave
know.
That one to the Patriots, but I
don't
know
say
that you
did.
Thank
book.
You, Sal. Thank
I
you for
say
your
as
service.
Much. You're welcome, Charlotte. And here's the double-edged sword. Yes, I take credit for getting in Casey's head. He kicks the ball out of bounds and gives the Pats a good field position to go back and kick the winning field goal. But joke's on me because I had money on the Panthers that game. So there you go. Nothing ever really works out.
Sal, oh, that's a story old as time then because I sat next to Sal at the Super Bowl, their first Lombardi.
Yeah.
And Sal had just lost a great deal on the Pittsburgh Steelers the week before betting the Patriots coming to town. So he was trying to make it all back on the Rams. And as you know, they didn't make it back. And so, Sal, that was fun to sit next to
really
Sal. And then
bad.
You went and bet against the Patriots Again, shame the devil, Sal.
I know. It was fun. I don't know. You just think, if we had done that podcast back then, we'd be like, is this team really going to win another Super Bowl? It's time for the I think that would be our narrative. But now, forget it. Tom Brady is Lord.
Can I just say, because I'm vain, two other ones that I loved was I did this when I was on the radio. We had the newswoman go to the Super Bowl and do this. And then I did it myself a few years later. But create fake quotes from the other team and then and then read them to the players and like, how do you respond? It was when the Eagles were there playing the Patriots a few years ago. I remember specifically talking to Timmy Jernigan, like, how do you respond to what Tom Brady said about the Eagles defense? He's like, I don't know. What did he say? And I read him the quotes like, if we don't win this game by four touchdowns against this garbage defense, like, you know, this whole thing. That. And Timmy Jernigan's face and respond like, Tom said that? Well, Tom can have his opinion, but I can't believe. And I'm like, man, you feel bad.
So
like,
stupid.
They're going to punch you out. And I'm like, he didn't say that. But if he did, what would your response be if he did? Because that would be bad, right?
Right.
The best one I did, though, my favorite thing is getting Wade Phillips. As it started as a joke and then it turned into something sincere was Wade Phillips. I kept saying, dress like Bum Phillips on the sideline, and then it turned into them getting to the Super Bowl, and then he actually wore his father's 10-gallon hat and lamb's wool jacket to media night, or you know, off the plane and everything else, and it was marvelous.
The point is, American comedians Dave Damashek and Charlotte Wilder have just started. They're not done by any
stretch. Oh, no, I'm all done.
You're done.
No, no one's ever Charlotte called me American before.
maybe it's just a pompous thing there for me to be like, why are they labeling us American comedians? Like, yeah, well, because Wikipedia stretches all amongst the earth, right?
So I'm going to make you feel better about that because I don't have a Wikipedia page. I have the Wikipedia page for Charlotte Wilder is Thornton Wilder's sister. She was a writer. She was a poet. And the last line of it is just seared into my brain. It says, Charlotte Wilder suffered a nervous breakdown in 1940, the repercussions of which lasted until her death.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, well, you know, maybe this is me. Maybe this is my
Wikipedia. You're a ghost.
Joel, yes. Joel or Jim, will you find out what it takes to get a Wikipedia? How does it start? Because I certainly didn't start mine. And Charlotte has enough gravitas to have a Wikipedia page.
I don't know about
who
that.
Who does make a decision to open that thing?
That's what I'm thinking.
I don't know how would I then bump that Charlotte? I mean, I guess you have
just do it.
Differentiated.
Yeah. No, it would just be, but what would be, that's the big question for you. Because they put it in parentheses. If there's like if there are two Tom Brady's as a, for instance.
Right,
they put like football player. Or an American football
Mine
player
would be
in parentheses.
Idiot. I don't. Think
idiot.
About this. How pissed would you be if you're Charlotte Wilder, the poet, the sister of this famous playwright, and then, you know, 80 years later, this dipshit comes along who like makes jokes about sports and bumps you for the Google search? I want to apologize to the first Charlotte Wilder because that is just. That's very insulting.
That's how, as Baby Doll Dixon would say, that's Hollywood, Baby Doll. That's just how it happens. You know what? Jim Cunningham is going to Photoshop a Wikipedia page for you.
You may come
out looking a little like Oprah, but you know, you can't, beggars can't be choosers at this point.
It's true.
Let's actually talk Super Bowl here. Again, we're 11 days out, but the line is not moving. They're smart here. FanDuel has it at 3. Chiefs favored 56.5. The over-under, they know as soon as they move that to 2.5, big, big money comes on the Chiefs. Move it to 3.5, oh my God, the Tampa floodgates open. So they're keeping it at 3. It's a fairly even distribution of money so far. But again, the big money comes in probably about a week from now and then hours leading up to the game. But we do have a couple of props. The Super Bowl MVP odds. Patrick Mahomes -105, Tom Brady +220. Tyreek Hill 14-1, Kelsey 15-1, Fournette 26-1, Antonio Brown 55-1, and there are a whole bunch of long shots. Now, it's probably going to be the quarterback, right? If you play this game 9 out of 10 times, 8 out of 10 times, it seems like regardless of the winner, they're going to give it to the quarterback. They've had a little more flexibility with this in the last few years. 4 out of 7 times it's been a quarterback. So you had Von Miller in 50. You had Edelman in 53.
Malcolm Smith in 48.
Right. So that was every other year. But then you go, you kind of go before
Chuck
that.
Chuck Howley in 5, Harvey Martin and Randy White in 12.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You go back then. Yeah. But
Jake Scott, number 13 for the Miami Dolphins. Can you imagine that there's a Miami Dolphins player wearing number 13 who's a Super Bowl MVP and it's not Dan Marino? No, it's Jake Scott.
I hadn't thought of that. 2 interceptions that game. Yeah, it's
Larry Brown.
I have a hard time thinking that it would be anyone besides Patrick Mahomes or Tom Brady in this one.
So let's figure that out. So I'm going to ask you guys, if it's not Mahomes or Brady, I guess the odds will tell us it's Kelce or Hill. But, well, first of all, which quarterback has less of a chance of winning, more of a chance of winning if their team wins? I got to think Tom Brady wins it almost no matter what. Almost no matter what.
I think so too.
Even if he had his NFC championship game stats, it'd be hard pressed to not give it to him. What do you think? Charlotte, you agree? Dave?
I would put my money on it with these odds at plus 220. I would put money on Brady on this one. I think the Bucs are going to win. And I think that Tom Brady is going to be the MVP. And those odds seem pretty good if you get in now on it.
So if you break that down, if you like the Bucs to win, you're only going to get paid plus 152. If you're positive it's going to be Tom Brady, little wiggle room, but you're getting plus 220. That's a nice gap. That's a nice gap if you could just go there and root for Tampa. And really, if they're going to win, he has to have a good game. But Dave, you could see a little more wiggle room there.
Well, as Dexter Jackson, the last time the Buccaneers in their red jerseys went out there and played a Super Bowl, we saw how that worked out. He was another one.
Brady has four. Does he have four? He's going for 5 MVPs. I got to look at this. Am I crazy? What does he have?
Well, Deion Branch got it the 1 year. He got it. He was the MVP.
Yeah. He has four.
In their first one, right?
He had 145 yards passing in that first one against the Rams. And
against Carolina, he got it.
354 and 3 touchdowns. That more than worth it there. 37 of 50, 328, 4 touchdowns.
Branch gets it in the first Eagles game.
Right. So, but he got it. He had to get it in the Atlanta game. He crushed it that game. That was 43-62.
Well, he did.
That was Edelman.
Edelman got it against the Rams, right?
That's right. Yeah. Sorry. Edelman gets that catch.
But that it really should have been James White. And if not in that one, the one prior to that, it should have been Shane Vereen who got the MVP.
There's a name I haven't thought about in a while.
Oh, the Vereen brothers are delightful. Brock is one of the funniest follows on social media. I encourage you, Nate, that you do it.
You give it to Edelman when the game's like 13-10 or something. It's tough to give it to the quarterback, right? That was that miserable Rams.
Both of your points. Obviously, when it's kind of close, people do the lazy thing and give it to the QB. And of course, when you look back, it's crazy that like Peyton Manning was the MVP of the Super Bowl. When Dominic Rhodes clearly should have been.
Right.
There's some of those. So you're right to bet on one of the QBs, which side you think is going to win. But for fun's sake, plus 220, have fun, live it up. Here's like a crazy one for you. How about Levante David? Because if you kind of consider the way this one's going to go, the Chiefs don't have an offensive line, right? So you assume that Patrick Mahomes doesn't have the extra 0.3, 0.4 to throw the deep ball to Tyreek Hill, which means he's going to try to go underneath the Kelce as they did against the Bills. The problem is that the Bucs have linebackers that can run. And so maybe a Devin White or maybe Levante David makes sense because the odds are high on those guys, and it's not crazy to think they might have a couple of picks there. Like
so
Rod Martin did. Had 3 in Super Bowl 15. You never know. Those linebackers, they all of a sudden you have some career number of interceptions in a game, you'll wind up the Super Bowl MVP.
It really depends what kind of personality you have, right? So this is the last game of the year, and let's liken it to roulette, and you got a whole bunch of chips and you got one more roll, right? Are you the kind of person you're going to put it all on black or red, or do you want to spread it out and have fun, like Dave is suggesting? Devin White brings you back 100-1 odds. Levante David, 100-1 odds. You might as spread it out. Why? What do you care if you lose $5 on Levante David or Devin White or JPP at 100-1? If the defense steps up, if Mahomes has 3 interceptions, then you kind of have to look towards the defensive player.
Here's one for you. Here's one for you, because this has happened on more than one occasion. Mm. Ray Lewis, another guy, MVP of a Super Bowl. Guy.
He sure is.
It's true. All these guys. Every year it's
all
a
these
guy.
Guys. I don't know why. I don't know why I did that. I don't know why I made it. For some reason, there's a funny thing that happens in voodoo when a guy is villainous. Yeah, well, when there's something about, like, this guy is getting attention for not good reasons, like Ray Lewis, it seems like they play large in the big game. They get to the big game, and then they play large. And maybe this is the Pittsburgh Steelers fan in me coming out, but Antonio Brown is interesting. Doesn't play. And here's the thing with Tom Brady, like we talk about Shane Vereen or Julian Edelman or otherwise, his wizardry is about identifying who's Waldo on the other team. Who's the guy we can keep going at, and there's nothing that they can do to stop
that. Where's Waldo? Who's Waldo is a whole different game.
You're right. If Antonio Brown has the right matchup, Tom Brady will keep going at it over and over and over again. And there are some susceptible guys. I could see Antonio Brown catching two or three touchdowns.
I can envision that. Than the Bucks winning the Super Bowl and Antonio Brown being the MVP.
That's going to be a miserable Monday podcast for
I cannot
for
think
us,
of anything worse.
For you guys. I mean, it'll be fun for me. Dave will be upset. Charles will be upset because Brady had won it. But wow, 55-1 odds. Yeah, I think it's worth sprinkling money. I think the not the surer bet, but value-wise as it relates to a player who will more likely win, Brady at +220 is better than, as we pointed out with Charlotte, the Bucks at +152. So I like that. But yeah, Dave, you want to spread it out. There are some nice options. Now, do you get caught with the Tyreek Hills and the Travis Kelce's? These guys could have 12 receptions, but then Mahomes' numbers will be great too. They could have 12 each the way they play.
Yeah.
But
I don't see a receiver getting it over Mahomes if that's
It's tough. Oh, a lot of fun. A lot of fun. Reads like the Cheesecake Factory menu. Going to spend a lot of time looking at it. Here's something interesting. Is Bruce Arians all of a sudden a mastered manipulator? What is he? He now says, before the playoffs, he says home field means nothing. And I get it. You know, you want to get your player. You're going to Washington. You're going to New Orleans. And then you're going to Green Bay. You're not going to say, oh, the other team has such an advantage. You want to pump your players up. That Kangol hat isn't on too tight. He knows what he's doing. But now that they're in the Super Bowl, all the advantage in the world, he says. What do you guys think? Is playing in Tampa, first time ever, we've heard a million times, that a team gets to play at home, albeit in front of 20,000 fans this time, is it a big advantage or is it not?
Yeah, I think it's huge just because of the travel. I mean, and, you know, especially at this point where the Chiefs aren't going down to what, Friday?
Right. So that's the one wrinkle. The one team, the visiting team as it is now, doesn't get there till Friday, 2 days before the game.
And I feel like on some level, I mean, they'll put the Bucks in a hotel anyway, I would assume, unless they won't because it's COVID. Like, I do think that not having that disrupted of having to go somewhere, but I could... Yeah, I mean, yes, I think it's a big advantage. And this, I feel like they'll have more people there than they've had, won't they? Aren't they expanding it for crowd size? So
I thought it was going to be 22,000 or something. I don't know. I can't even keep up. And I don't even know how many, the 15, wasn't it like 7,000 are going to healthcare workers?
Yeah, who've already been vaccinated.
7,500, something like that, right?
Yeah, what a waste that is. No, I'm kidding. No, they deserve it. They deserve it. It should all be healthcare workers. Who cares anymore? It should fill it with the essential employees.
Well, it is. I'm glad. Yeah. Here's a hot take. But I will say that the healthcare workers deserve it and a nice trip and beyond all that from the rest of society for what they've done. But it does address the thing that stinks about the Super Bowl versus title games. And I say it all the time. Pro tip. Go to the title game of your favorite team, not the Super Bowl, that's more special. Even if it's on the road, even if your team is playing on the road in the title game, that's special. Then you're a band of rebels against, 80,000 other people. The Super Bowl has people there that don't have a rooting interest. So it has a weird vibe to it. And Chris Long has already addressed this important issue. And I'd like to jump on board with this too. The pirate ship, they have that cannon that shoots off and it's downright scary every time it goes off. Do they only fire it for the Bucks? Because that's not fair. And do they fire it when the Chiefs score? because that's very confusing. And I don't know who that favors ultimately. If the Buccaneers players who are used to hearing that cannon are hearing it because Travis Kelce just scored a touchdown, does that create a sense of confusion for them?
I bet they don't use it at all, right?
Yeah.
I would think they don't use it.
I don't know. That seems a shame.
Yeah. I know, but it's too much favor to them. Maybe the NRA gets involved or something.
The most important thing is that the sky's open. Let's get rain and muck and mire. That's what we need for this Super Bowl to jazz it up a little bit.
To address his, if you want to just go by Brady's stats this year, if it matters to have the home field advantage, at home, 5-3, 265 yards passing average, 19 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. Away, 9-2. Now they've played a good deal more away games. 307 yards passing per game, 28 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. I don't think it matters to Tom Brady where they're playing. I'm sure, like, if I'd be singing a different tune if he was going at Arrowhead, but just another neutral field, I don't think it really matters. But Arians playing the games there.
I think it does.
Arians has been a little bit off his rocker this season. Like, he's been all over the place. At first, he says that, like, he throws Tom Brady under the bus, and then he says he lets Tom Brady coach, and then he says that it does matter and then it doesn't matter. And it's almost nice because you don't believe anything he says now. Yeah. You're just like, okay, whatever, man. He sort of covered himself by playing the press conferences the way he has, is that he's like, well, I said all of it, so I'm either always wrong or always right.
Mm-hmm. Sounds familiar in American politics. I don't know what we can compare it to.
Also, Dave, like me on this podcast.
Well, I mean, anecdotally and several generations ago at this point, but the Rams had what essentially was a home game against the Steelers in 14. The Steelers were infinitely better than the Rams, and yet the Rams almost won that one. Next, Super Bowl 19 was more or less a home game for the Niners. They played in Stanford, which is obviously pretty close to San Francisco. So that amount, and they smoked the Dolphins, who were their equal or close to their equal. So if you want to try and take anything from those two, the home teams probably perform better than expected going into it. So that should be a cause for optimism for the Buccaneers,
so,
right?
Well, I went to the 95 Super Bowl as a spectator. How else would I be there? I'm not playing, but the
kicker.
But anyway,
fake kicker.
I was a fake kicker.
As a long snapper.
As American kicker, John Casey. Steelers were playing the Cowboys. The Steelers fans traditionally travel well. They really do. And I think you had it, Dave, 65-35 Steeler fans to Cowboys fans. I'm not going to get on Cowboys fans because I kind of think they ran out of money. I really do. I mean, they had been to a lot of Super Bowls and they let this one go. This was in Tempe, but you had the crowd there. But in recent years, I mean, that was 25 years ago. Now it's like, it's so corporate. It is. And I don't want to sound like a douchebag, but I've sat in these luxury boxes. I did in the Ravens 49ers game and in New Orleans. And it's like they assist the CEO of Twitter and then this guy for this and that. And they're barely watching the game and it just sucks. And for that game in particular, you remember what the fun part of that was? There was a blackout. And all these bazillionaires and everybody else are scrambling for a phone charger that wasn't going to work anyway because there's a blackout, and we were all one and the same. It was Walking Dead. Everybody in the stadium was a third class citizen at that point. And it really was scary for a good 8 or 9 minutes, not knowing if you're going to get out. What the hell is this?
Scary.
Well, I don't know. Look, back then, terrorist attacks were pretty.
I know. I remember. I was there.
I wasn't terrified, but I didn't know what my next move was.
That moment, it lasted for what, 25, 30 minutes or something?
Yeah.
I don't remember how long it went on, but that is our most underrated Super Bowl. That game is a gem. That is such a good one, and it has that weird wrinkle. Here's a fun thing. The Ravens, during the blackout, they got oranges and sandwiches.
That's nice.
The Niners.
Youth soccer game?
The Niners did not.
Really?
Did that impact the result? Again, I don't know, but I think it's weird.
I think Charlotte's right. The Ravens' parents thought ahead and packaged it, put it on
Ziploc
bags.
Baltimore parents love their kids more, clearly, when it comes to
They really
it.
Did.
One Super Bowl 30 is one of the all-time stinkers, too. That's a
With the Ravens 49ers, though, I was doing a bit where I would, after the game, go outside and hug the fans of the losing team.
That's right.
And the game was so damn good, I had to leave with 3 minutes left. And I was legitimately asking our crew, who the hell won the game? Who am I hugging here? I didn't see the ending. Is it Kaepernick? I started hugging everyone as they were coming out. And then word got out that who the hell won that? The Ravens won, right? Yeah, Ravens won that Super Bowl. Yeah.
I was hugging
49ers fans. So that was that. But all right, so Bruce Arians is at it. Dave, your coaching carousel. Well, first of all, Aaron Rodgers said he'll be back. And I thought it was an overreaction by the fans anyway. Like, I get it. His coach blew it. His coaches blew it. He was mad at them. But how mad could it be? Like, you know, Charlotte, are you going to divorce your husband if he forgets a Valentine's Day gift? Like, you're absolutely mad for a minute. You are. Oh.
Well, I'm also not married, but.
Oh, man. All right. I didn't. Dave, are you going to divorce your husband?
See, that's why she needs a Wikipedia page, so we can be up to speed on it.
Wikipedia page. Let's get you married. But no, the point is, first of all, they're not going to let the MVP go for peanuts. Secondly, I don't think he wants to. He's got a great thing with Green Bay. Right?
Sorry.
Maybe peanuts. What is it?
I never thought he was going to leave. I mean, I feel like at this point, how much time does he... Well, I mean, you say that, but then there's Tom Brady, so maybe never mind. But I feel like on some level, if you're that competitive to be that good for that long, don't you kind of want to clear your name or get revenge? Or, you know,
as much as
Rodgers is heartbroken now and the whole team's press conference, I mean, the whole team seems to be a bit of a mess mentally. I mean, mm-hmm. I would think that once that passes, you come back and you're like, okay, now we're going to do it. And they still have the pieces in place to beat. Clearly, they got, you know, it's 2-13-3 seasons. I don't know statistically if you can do that again. But
that's the flip side, right? Like, you know, the other side is mentally thinking, oh my God, we had the best team this year in the NFC. We ran it all the way to the championship game and the coach took the ball out of my hands. How does it get better? How do I get to a better situation than that for this team? But I don't think going to the Niners is the answer. So I think he stays.
I mean, I think it has to do with kind of the other side of the coin that Charlotte hits at. Like, is this team in good position to make a run in 2021? I think the other side of that is Aaron Rodgers did not enjoy, I think you might have heard, he didn't enjoy having to learn a whole new offense. And despite the fact that it's pretty clear that he wanted to part ways with McCarthy, then they do. And now he wasn't exactly comfortable a year ago learning the new offense. They obviously went 13-3, so it wasn't that bad. Does he want to do that again now with Kyle Shanahan? Right. I think that's what gets in the way of doing that. By the way, very quickly, before we spin the carousel, I do have to say, I went back and watched some of the title game, and I'll tell you the play that nobody's talking about because they're, you know, it's one of those games that has 17 plays that feel like they could have swung stuff. If Alan Lazard catches that 2-point conversion when they make it 28-23, totally. If he catches that and makes it 28-25,
flat out
the rest of that game rolls pretty differently. I disagree publicly here and now with Jeff Schwartz, who has taken to arguing with people. I don't know why it's an important thing for him to make. It's like, Eric, can we please stop? I hate the royal we. Like, can
you don't
we
sound
please?
Like him. Yeah. You don't really sound like him.
Can we please stop with saying that Aaron Rodgers would have scored if he would have run on third down? Maybe he would have gotten it down close. Like, he would have scored. Don't give me stills. Give me the actual replay and the momentum of these.
I saw his tweet there.
And he was wrong. I think he's wrong about
that. Why can't we split the difference? It's not 100% that he would have scored. A lot of it would have had that would have had to do with the pump fake, right? How many of those two defenders that were blanketing the one receiver on the right side of the end zone would have fell for it. But secondly, I think if he does get 5 yards, they go for it, right? And if they do catch the 2-point conversion, ironically, so aggressive going for a 2-point conversion and then not on the other side, they kick the field goal. But if he does catch the 2-point conversion, I think they do go for it. Right?
Well, then they would have had. Yeah, then they do. That's my point. They do go for it there.
Right. And he does gain at least 5 yards there, even if he doesn't score. But he probably
does. It speaks to my point. You have to either kick all the time or never kick. You cannot play it either way. you know?
Dave, your Steelers for a while were a team that would score in the first quarter and get six and then go for two. And it looked like that was going to be their way, you know, 4 or 5 years ago. You saw they'd be up 8-0 a lot, you know?
It is the limitation, you know, as opposed to everybody else who's got who's made absolute decisions on Roethlisberger. You know, people. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is the subject in Pittsburgh. You'll be surprised to know. No. And by the way, as a side note, listen to the Packers fans, listen to the Bills fans. As they always say, everybody's unhappy. Nobody is happy except for the Browns fans who have low expectations and they're victims of that. If the prize you fancy every year is a Lombardi, then everybody's sad right now. It's not any different.
No, it's true. Well, but so anyway, what is different is we didn't have many instances where a ballsy coach went for it and came up short, and that's why the fans are mad. In fact, the only example I can remember of that, and it certainly wasn't a playoff game, was on Thanksgiving when Mike McCarthy fake punted on 4th and 12 from his own 20.
It really is the result. Did the play work or not? That's what determines how fans react to it. But yes, I think they go for it there. Aaron Rodgers moving, unlikely. Nevertheless, Damashek is treated as a buffoon for saying, oh, there are going to be double-digit QBs moving or starting in new places in 2021. Oh, ridiculous. Adam Schefter says it. Oh, it's gospel. He said 18. Take it to the bank.
18. First of all, I don't count the draft.
That's too many.
You can't count the draft. You can't count the draft picks as part of the carousel,
can.
Right?
Sure. Well, if they start
a carousel,
the season
means that they've been on and they're going. Well,
it means
off
that you're moving,
jumping on,
right,
another horse.
Oh my
but
God.
If the Lions are a part of the carousel.
Charlotte,
if
what's
Stafford's
a carousel?
Not there,
as you know
they,
it.
They have to have a new QB, so they're on the carousel. That's it. They're taking one guy off and putting a new guy on.
They're adding a horse. They're adding horses at that point. The carousel is just jumping from.
That counts. All right. Now, Matt Stafford.
I think Rodgers is off your carousel, but Jared Goff may be on because the GM now.
Well, he clearly is. Who wants him is the.
Right. That's the thing. There's a lot of who wants him. There's Sam Darnold who wants him. There's Jared Goff who wants him. Obviously, the Colts have to be part of this carousel. They're going to get somebody. And everybody
Darnold
loves
to the Colts.
Darnold.
That would
not
be
Stafford.
So funny.
Darnold,
I think they're
would be
in
good.
Their. I think they perceive themselves to be in the window. And I don't know, you throw Sam Darnold in there confidently and say, yes, he will. Maybe he does too. He is the guy who you really do have to kind of really, it's almost Lamar Jackson, will that offense work kind of question. Will Chip Kelly work 8 years ago? Will Tom Brady succeed in Tampa? This might be our offseason question of the year. Is Sam Darnold going to emerge on the level that he was expected to when he was drafted? Like, was that a bad spot up there? And I think we all need to get in on it now. You have to say so that your feet can be held to the fire.
Okay, let's do it now.
In a year or in 5 years from now, will Sam Darnold be a good, and I mean, not a passenger, not a middle class guy. Will he be a top 8 or 10 QB that is making plays, that wins games, that can take you all the way?
Charlotte, you go first. What do you think?
Go ahead.
No.
No.
I think he always has and always will throw too many interceptions.
Yeah.
And I think that he also, I do not see him being the kind of guy who all of a sudden, and I feel mean saying this, I don't mean it, but he seems he got mono. He seems a little, I don't know how unfratty he'll become, how quickly. And I think that plays a role in,
Roger Staubach never got mono.
Is mono like Corona? Can you get mono again? He could get it every year, right?
No, I don't know, actually. You can't get it again because everyone would be like, oh, I had it in high school. I can't get it in college. Like, I'll share drinks. And you're
here's the thing. He obviously went high in the draft, so expectations are high. But he also is a quarterback who had 22 interceptions for USC.
And have you seen that change with the Jets? Because I know they're the Jets, and I know it's not fair, but like he's also had his – he's done his part to ensure the interceptions continue.
Right, to be able to blame Adam Gase. He was 7-6, not this past year, the year before. There are signs of hope. If I listen to my boy Romo, it's like, oh no, I love his mechanics. He's got something. Just got to pair him with the right guy. But I'm on Charlotte's side. I don't think he makes, what's the question here now? Like if he goes to the Colts, or a team like that? Will he?
I mean, are you going to? Are we going to be talking around Labor Day, 2021? Like, right. Beware the Colts because Sam Darnold's their guy now, and look out because here comes a title game trip or maybe a Super Bowl, or like, ooh, they overreached on Darnold and they're a wild card team kind of thing. Cause they can't completely fall off a cliff.
I don't think I'll be saying that. I do not. I would like to be wrong. I really would. I would love it if Darnold emerged as a fantastic quarterback. It would be super fun. I just don't see it happening.
I need Charlotte. We need Charlotte. Cause I have no idea what happens at the stock market. So hopefully she can explain this, but I do understand this very basic fact that you buy low and sell high. Right? I got that right. Sam Darnold is a stock you want to buy, much like Ryan Tannehill.
All right.
The Adam Gase thing is real. And if Sam Darnold, let me just say, if Matt Stafford is not an option for the Pittsburgh Steelers, if he's going to wind up in Indianapolis or San Francisco, and Deshaun Watson's going to wind up in one of those markets or with the Jets, I think he's going to wind up with the Jets, by the way, Deshaun Watson. And then that means that Sam Darnold is going to move almost by definition.
So you're saying yes.
I say if you can get it, I don't want to say this too loud, but Kevin Colbert, GM of the Pittsburgh Steelers, if you can get him for a third and some change,
you do it.
Wow.
You do it.
Wow.
That's the perfect move for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Perfect move for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And yes, he's always going to throw interceptions. No, that is not the end-all be-all. For QBs, you have to.
I didn't even think about him in your offense. I don't know how that would work.
Sure.
I don't know if Tomlin has.
Well, it's going to be a new offense anyway.
It would have to be. Charlotte, Dave mentioned it to you explaining the stock market to us. I have no idea what this means with the GameStop stuff.
Yes,
do you know what this is? Someone on Reddit caused the market to turn upside down. Go ahead,
in advance of the podcast, when you send out the things we're going to talk about, I researched this so that I would be able to explain it to you.
Is it worth explaining even? Sorry if I made
you. I found it very interesting. So GameStop, which because it has to do with your Mets sell.
Oh.
Are you ready?
I'm all ears.
So GameStop is obviously a business much like Blockbuster that does not really have the same... it doesn't play the same role it once did. You don't have to walk into a video game store to buy video games. And so for the past few years, at the start of the start of 2020 or 2021, I can't remember if it was this recent or if it was last year, GameStop was one of the most shorted stocks on the market. And I did research to figure out what shorting means because I've heard it my whole life, didn't actually know. You borrow stocks at a certain price, say you borrow them at $10 a share.
Short bread is really good.
Oh my God.
Have you ever had it? It's really good. It's a little understated, but it's
hard enough. This is
difficult enough. You borrow stocks for say you borrow GameStop stocks for $10, and you borrow those from a specific entity that lends out stocks. You sell those for $10, assuming that the price is going to keep going down. So say the price keeps going down to $4. You buy the stock back from the borrower, so you return it, and you've made $6 because of the difference between where you got it and where you sold it. So
that's shorting, right?
GameStop was the most shorted stock. 134% of GameStop stock was shorted, which I don't even know how that's possible, but it was. And people on Reddit were like, hey, and it's this one hedge fund, where one of Steve Cohen's disciples was the main company doing the shorting. So a bunch of people on Reddit got together and they were like, hey, let's drive up the price and squeeze this guy so that you have to stop being shorted, you have to buy the stock back and then you're just hemorrhaging money basically to try to stop the bleeding. And so on Reddit, they got millions of people to buy GameStop stock, which raises the price. So then the person doing the shorting needs to buy it so that they try to hedge their bet.
Got it.
And that drives it up further. So now GameStop stock is just like skyrocketing and it's a battle between these they call them retail traders and the hedge fund to who's going to give up first. And so Steve Cohen put 12, I think he put a bunch of money. I don't remember how much money. He put a bunch of money in to help the hedge fund because it's one of his guys who's about to get liquidated if this keeps going up. Like, this is going to ruin that hedge fund.
Oh,
Steve Cohen stepped in to try to fix it. Within a day, the money that he had given them was already gone because the Redditors kept pushing it up because Elon Musk tweeted about it.
Wow. So basically the world financial market has been proven dictated by a prank.
Seems like a great system to me. Yes, you can a bunch of people on Reddit get together, they can completely screw up the markets.
And this makes me think, and maybe this is a out of left field, but why not give everyone $2,000 in stimulus checks? If money really doesn't matter and hinges on a group of Reddit users manipulating the market.
Yeah, exactly. But I did like that there was a sports tie-in. I saw a thread on Twitter that was like, hey, actually, this affects Steve.
I like it too, until the Mets are eliminated or relegated from the league.
I know.
They have to go down. Because of
GameStop.
Because of GameStop. Still obsolete. Doesn't change the fact that people still don't go to GameStop. None of this, right? Like,
you download
your games on your
The company
unit.
Itself has not changed at
this
all.
This is unbelievable.
Yeah.
This is, well, great job by you there, Charlotte.
I have no goddamn idea. That was a legitimate, I'm making fun of myself. Although it did cross my mind. I wish the other Charlotte Wilder was here to read one of her poems over that. deja vu and not good, not bad. It just is what it is. That is exactly my experience in all levels of school. I just like at some point, like I lost the thread of what you were talking about a third of the way through. And then by the end of it, I have no goddamn
Why?
Idea.
Why? No, just that was easy.
Because I don't.
That was easy.
I get it. You should have taken notes. If you'd written it down, you would have remembered.
I never could do that. My brain in school, like from seventh grade on, just like it went somewhere else. And then it would return to what was happening in the room and be like, well, too late to follow what's going on in this plot line. And then I would return to whatever fantasy world I was in. And now that's why I have
the
no
point
idea
is,
what happened
I think,
the stock
Charlotte,
market. What the hell happened? I don't get it.
I think you would say buying stock in GameStop makes as much sense as buying stock in Sam Darnold at this point, right?
Stock in Sam Darnold makes more sense than buying stock in GameStop, except that a bunch of people on Reddit can't make him not throw interceptions.
That's true. I don't know. Don't underestimate Reddit. Who knows what
that's true. Be. Sorry. Now I've said it. Well, it's going to happen.
The good news is I've decided Charlotte has to do my taxes. So,
yeah.
She's got a better handle on that than I do.
I do have to say that for me was a huge growth experience that last night I could research this and understand it and explain it back to you because math was never, I had a mental block. So I would sort of zone out the same way you're describing, Dave. And I think that, I think I'm maybe making progress with being able to understand math. And at 31, that's too late, but like it's never too late to learn.
By the way, you know, completely kidding when I asked you to research that. I was just like, I don't know, maybe Charlotte, why don't you do it? If you would come back, I don't know what it means. That would have been
fine. Glad you did because I found the Mets tie-in.
Thank you. Thank you for that. Hey, let's celebrate the 55th edition of the big game with exclusive 55-1 odds on FanDuel Sportsbook. If you've never tried FanDuel before, new users can bet on either team and get 55-1 odds when Kansas City plays Tampa Bay. That's right. You bet $5, you win $275. You pick the winner of the game February 7th. I don't know. Explain this to me, please, how FanDuel can afford to pay somebody 55-1 odds on basically a coin flip of a game. Charlotte, can you look into that? You can't.
I couldn't. There's no explanation. It's just very generous.
And now, are the Mets in this game? No, I don't think it's a different thing altogether.
No, Sal. Oh, come on, man.
Range of betting options include player props, futures. Oh, the Super Bowl MVP. We went over it. We're going to go over more as the weeks roll on. Find whatever bet you're looking for as FanDuel has heaps of options. Live betting. You know, just because you bet before the game doesn't mean you're stuck to it. You bet a different team in the second quarter, bet the over-under, whatever you want. Odds boost, specials every day, bigger super boost each weekend. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and use promo code ExtraPoints to get started. That's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code extra points. We've gone long today, but we have to discuss, Dave. I know you want to discuss these Baseball Hall of Fame announcements. The announcement is that there's no announcement, basically. No one received the requisite 75% of the votes. First time since 2013, no one has been elected. Curt Schilling, he's the most noteworthy here. One of Charlotte's favorites, at least at one time. He had 71%. He needs 16 more votes next year in his last year on the ballot. And he's come out and said, and I don't think he's going to get it because of his political views.
He came
and,
out? Yes, he's out. That seems crazy. I would not have expected that.
He's out. But he said, no, he came out and said, take me off the ballot next year. I'll let the Veterans Committee decide. Enough. I don't know that the veterans are going to back him up.
If you put any weight in the sort of good person clause that they have in there as a part of the requirements for getting in, you can't have someone who supported an insurrection at the Capitol on Twitter and has been so racist and awful publicly for so long at this point that I don't know. I mean, and I know that they, if none of that were part of the whole discussion at all, it'd be like, okay, well, I guess we just got to vote on his stats, but like you don't. So
right.
I was kind of surprised he even got 71%. Honestly.
Yeah, I know. I think it's because the pickings were slim or whatever, you know, it's just, you have these off years, but the funny thing is now there's talk about, I just put him, Bonds and Clemens in, and
right.
Roger Clemens is the sweetheart of the group now. Like he really could. He's the Henry Winkler of the bunch now. So, there were 14 blank ballots submitted this year. Dave, you want to redo this whole thing?
I mean, I feel like we need at least an episode to discuss this on a couple
of
levels.
We could hold it.
What we're doing, right? What this measure of what kind of a human being they are? Listen, Curt Schilling is a douchebag, but Ty Cobb apparently was a douchebag too. And who are we lionizing? It's what I always talk about. Yes, the olds can charge the youngs with recency bias and you don't really know greatness because I watched blank when I was growing up. Okay, there's some merit in that. The other side of it is too, stop boosting up everybody as though it's the thing that happens from watching highlights of only highlights of great players is you get this weird sort of, the youngs kind of buy into it too, because you only see highlights of the legends. You do not see them slip on a 1 yard run and their feet go out from under them and it goes nowhere. So on one hand, the olds have the advantage in that regard. Like Jim Brown highlights are always great. Jim Brown also threw a woman off a balcony. So really, what are we talking like this moralizing about, well, you can't put him in cause he's a bad guy. Like, The ships left the harbor or whatever the cliche is there.
Isn't it like comedians or whoever get canceled because based on this new, you know, level of
I really do think that'd be a fun, I don't know, but an interesting conversation because really I get DMs from people too, like, how can you root for blank? You know, like, don't you know who blank is, what he's done or whatever?
They say blank? Like, that's weird. That's a waste of a DM.
It's Billy Blank. They're talking about Tybo.
They're talking about Atlanta Falcons owner.
Arthur Blank.
And I'm like, listen, but he's done some nice things in the community. No.
That's stupid.
Whose conscience is clear if you start playing that game of who are you rooting for? Like, I mean, I don't know. I can probably, if you tell me any team, I can probably tell you something bad about a guy that they have on there.
Right.
One thing. But also, this notion of fame, Hall of Fame. Like, who decided that fame was the measure anyway? This is what everybody rings their head. The olds, ironically,
are
the ones
who
always like,
the measure,
oh, just because you're famous, Kim Kardashian. Like, what is she famous for? It's like, fame. That's what we're great. That's what we want to determine. Who is the great among all the greats that we saw play that sport? We can dig in deeper on it. I've proposed it before. I'm going to propose it to you guys now, and then let's see where we can take this thing. Let's leave all the halls of fame up on Mount Pius with their voters, do exact revenge on T.O. because he wasn't nice to me in a locker room. So I'm going to make him wait. What? Why? That's a part of the calculation? That kind of hokum? These racists who played baseball 100 years ago against other white men, they're all good. They're all in the Hall of Fame no matter what. Their deeds against only white men is like, so how do we measure that versus, you know, right. Willie Mays or Barry? All that jive. Let's leave all of it, all that conversation up in the 20th century, up on Mount Pius. And we human beings here in the 21st century can start anew. And let's do, instead of Hall of Fame, some sort of grand hall of greatness. And we won't just keep it to one sport. Let's do it for all of North America. Oh. And let's put them all in. And let's start from scratch. Let's do like our first 20, our 20 or something. Because you can't, like, for the next year, you want to go and see some faces. Like, mm-hmm. If you only put 5 in, that wouldn't be enough. Need like 20, maybe 25, the inaugural class, but we also have to figure out what the name of this
place I'm with is. It. Now, does this reside on Mount Pius or are we going somewhere? Because this is a big building. I don't know how large the mountain is. I'm looking at your backdrop here.
When you go up to Mount Pius, and you can visit those halls of fame with all the voters for it.
You
and,
take Jive Lane north, you just keep taking it straight, right?
Take a left at Coy Hill. Where a lot of people like to live right now. People have a lot of winter homes. A lot of pro football personnel guys have winter homes. They like to ski during the day and throw out coy nonsense at night about like, well, Jared Goff is our quarterback right now. Like, so what are we supposed to take from that, Les Snead? Like, I don't know. I'm up on Coy Hill. Yeah. Now, you go past that, if you want to indulge that nonsense, then you go up to Mount Pius, and there you can have you can have righteous conversations about why the home run king and the hit king and maybe the greatest pitcher of the last 50 years, when you go to the Baseball Hall of Fame, are not in there. Like, hey, where's the guy who got the most hits, Dad? Like, well, he didn't make it. You know, like, well, then what the hell are we doing here? Who are we here to see?
You know, Charlotte, it's interesting.
Baines? I'm here to see Hal Baines? Please.
Greatest DH of all time. Dave makes a good point, especially about the fame part of it. And O.J. Simpson doesn't have to worry about this because he's already in the Hall of Fame.
Right, but exactly.
I think retroactively, if they could, they would take him out. And if I'm using as my argument, screw you, I'm the most famous football player of all time, whether it's for good or bad reasons. I am really famous. So number one on the fame scale.
He's infamous.
Yes, he's infamous.
Yeah. So my question, though, is it the Hall, like, is Hall of Fame, when you're voting guys in, is it who was famous? Or is it, I feel like voting has become who was good.
No, it's about who's great. It has nothing, that's right. It's hokum that they even, it was a misnomer to begin with. Hall of Fame.
Well, but they I know what they're thinking. It was at one time, and most of the time, it's one and the same. If you're great, you're famous, right?
Right. So I feel like I do think, though, you know, you look at a lot of athletes, it becomes this sort of impossible balancing act or this impossible question of where's the line in the sand that we draw on who can be in because they're a terrible person or not? Because, like, a lot of athletes, they've got things that people don't know about, like, If you say that, you know, cheating on your wife means you shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame, then it's like, well, I think a lot of guys are probably going to be ineligible. But like, so, you know, I feel, but to me,
well, maybe there's a woke
Kurt Warner
that gets to.
No. I do. I feel like for me, something like a Curt Schilling, who is so blatantly, who is so harmful publicly so often, that's okay to be like, yeah, sorry, man. Like, I don't know, but you know,
it's tough it depends on who you are
and on who you're, like, if a bunch of different people are voting, then maybe a bunch of different people can use different criteria. I don't know.
Well, that's the kind of
thing.
That's
you don't
want to put numbers to it, right, Dave? Because if you say 3,000 hits, you're in, 250 wins, you're in. Then the game changes. Obviously,
I don't know if there's a measure that's like, well, you cannot debate that. Like, this the nonsense about, like, you know, not evaluating the overall quality of the human being, just what they did. And so, is Frank Gore a Hall of Famer? No. And you know in your gut he isn't. You just look at the numbers and swoon, and then people get distracted. That he won't go in. Here's another one. We must reevaluate. There are going to be some tough decisions. OJ is great, so I think he has to be in.
Famous.
Bob Greasy, not great. I'm sorry. We're taking your gold jacket. If I were in charge of Canton, gold jackets would be revoked. I'm sorry. We only have so much room, Bob Greasy. And as it happens, we look back and realize you weren't good. And so you have to give back.
But he wasn't
jacket.
Good because of the stats, because the forward pass was barely utilized. Not barely utilized, but certainly
now,
not
even
to the
in that area,
was.
He wasn't great. He was not great, even compared to his peers. He does not.
It's tough.
Bob Greasy does not goodness. Belong in the Hall of Fame. Stop.
I know, but you got to put yourself in the shoes. If somebody might say, oh, look at the numbers. Frank Gore deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. But
if you're
well,
not
no,
going no, by
you
the numbers.
You had to live in the time. Right. So either put somebody numbers. By. And how they were reflected in that time, or you're not. It's a big mess. We do have an email, theextrapointsgang@gmail.com, if you want to reach out to us. This is an actual email from Marty, theextrapointsgang@gmail.com. He writes, does this win against Rodgers help Brady's case for making the Hall of Fame? I say no, Marty. I think he needs to string together 7 or 8 more of these.
Sweet Marty.
Do we agree Tom Brady's in the Hall of Fame? And you're... And your Dave Triple League Hall of Fame, at least he's got to go.
Yeah, I know. I mean, well, that's the real question is who cares about Hall of Fame? That's in the rearview mirror now. Out on the horizon, a grand new structure to house the true greats. And Tom Brady, spoiler alert, will go in. And good. I suspect he'll be a first class member, too.
There you go, Marty. That win against Rodgers was just enough
really
to put
helped.
Him over the hump. Mm-hmm. Charlotte, what is going on in your life at the Wilder Things on Twitter?
At the Wilder Things, the usual, you know, got videos, got some articles, got a new People Sports podcast that'll be out tomorrow. I am eventually going to be let out of my quarantine Airbnb in Los Angeles, and I'll be doing some interviews in studio next week, which reminds me, I have a favor to ask of you guys once this is over. You know, just sort of trying not to lose my mind, not talking to other people in person for another few days.
What an elaborate prank this was. Nobody at Fox has the gall to do this or the sensibilities. But imagine quarantining you and then saying, oh, yeah, we don't have a studio. We don't have anything. But
I've thought of that, Sal.
Enjoy
I've been
L.A.
Like, is someone pranking me? Because last night I started going a little nuts, not talking to, you know.
I'm sure.
I've
Can
called
you get
every
booked?
Friend who will talk to me, and now I'm just like, oh, God.
Can you get her booked on Kimmel, Sal? They're letting, you know, some real ham and eggers in there.
Oh, maybe you could help. Come
on. Yeah, Jimmy, have me on. I've got nothing
All
but
right.
time.
I'll see if I could pull some strings. At the Wilder Things, the People Podcast, People's Podcast, so much more. At Damashek for you, Dave, on Twitter. And you got a -3 coming up?
-3 coming up, of course, with Schwartz and Spaghetti. I assume that we'll dig in on the demise of the Blue Shirts early on in the hockey season. Not very good. And then also we're trying to book one Sal Iacono to talk about his book. So we'll see if he can join us. And
I'll get in there.
He's a hard get.
And maybe we could do our Hall of Great. We can really kick it off because I fear that Spaghetti and Schwartz are too young. They don't really, that's where, you know, what the standard's going to be. Like, are we going to allow pre-Super Bowl guys in there? I don't know.
Well, maybe you have committees broken up into generational, you know, breakdowns. Like 25 years, this is the post-2020, post-2000 committee and this, and they could, you guys get your act together and you give us your best 7. And then the 1975 to 2000, you give us your best 7. Then we,
and do we want, I like that, but I'm sorry. See, I legitimately can have this stupid conversation for the next 4 hours.
I know. You guys, well, we'll stop recording and you can keep talking.
But, well, that's probably what'll happen. I mean, it really, like, then there's like, are we putting tennis people in? Because I don't know.
Sure.
I mean, does anybody care if we have tennis people in there?
The hell do you have? What do you have against Arthur Ashe all of a sudden? Come on.
I don't know. What about it? Do we do it like maybe that's the way you work around golf and tennis and
no, I'm putting
other
I'm putting
assorted
Simone Biles in there. We're going to, if we're doing greatness, it's who's the great athlete.
Maybe it's team greatness. Maybe
no,
it's just team
come
sport
on, Dave.
Greatness.
No.
Your ballot can be team greatness.
No.
Bowling? We're gonna, because then where's the cutoff?
Don't you
line?
Want George Foreman high-fiving Joe Montana and your structure up there at Mount Pius?
I want Ali in there. That's for sure. I can't have anything that's sports right. related that doesn't honor the greatest.
Well,
of all time,
I would put the whoever in orchestrated this Reddit coup. He needs to be in there too.
Yeah. I mean, but then again, like
now you got me into
probably
this.
A woman.
Jeff Gordon.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Jeff Gordon's got to go. I don't want Jeff Gordon in my. What do I know from Jeff Gordon?
All right,
Dave, you're making the rules. Put whoever you want.
Yeah, that's
in,
true.
Man.
This is your thing. This is your fruit of the year. But
don't take
building.
Like if you don't want Jeff Gordon in, don't put Jeff. No one's. I'm not. No one's
that's
putting
true.
Your. No one's saying you have to put Jeff Gordon into your made-up
Excuse
Hall of
me,
Fame.
Charlotte. It's awfully easy to take that position without a Wikipedia page. But I have a responsibility that you
wow.
can't possibly
my
understand.
God, hit me wow. where it hurt. That's
Charlotte, you have a lot of free time quarantining. Just go to town on Dave's Wikipedia page. It seems
yeah, watch
like it's
out,
not
buddy.
It's not hard to make some alterations, it seems, in someone's
yeah.
page without verification.
It.
All right, I'm at the Cousin Sal. Yes, listen to Against All Odds. You got the Lemon Pepper Parlay guys. You have Waiver Wired. So many others. -3, as we said, right here on the Betting Academy. Kendrick Perkins and Gina Paradiso. They twice a week go over basketball. Wow. We'll talk about this. LeBron, all of a sudden, I don't want to get into it now. MVP favorite. Unbelievable. 46-point effort. And,
as he should be right
that's
now,
that's where
right?
he is. Mm-hmm. So there you go. And a reminder to everyone out there, you may feel like underdogs, but please remember, you're all our favorites. See you Friday.